Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. If you are new to our channel, subscribe, drop this video a like, and get involved in everything that we discuss on this episode. So we've got two episodes to go until the deadline for the Football Content Awards. So if you can head over to thefootballcontentawards.com, go to the voting page, just go down to the voting page here. And we are entering in best new content creators. Drop your vote and just agree and vote for us. It'd mean the world to me and everyone that does this channel. And yeah, if we can win the award, absolutely buzzing. We haven't really got many episodes to plug it now. So if you can all head over now, just pause the video, just go over, do it, and then come back. You know, I just want to win it. I think everybody puts so much time and effort into this channel, and I just think for us it'd just be nice just to have that little award, and yeah, I think that would be very, very nice indeed. Another thing that's sort of come out is that there's three options for the new badge, which is going to be whittled down to two, where Villa fans can have the chance to vote for which one that they prefer. But Mr. Justin Hawthorne was at the AGM and he was asking Mr. Purslow a couple of questions. So do you want to run over some of the questions and major talking points that came from the AGM?
Yeah, it was a good night, to be fair. There wasn't that many people there, so it felt quite cosy, and he was almost addressing like a smaller crowd. He covered most of the major talking points that are currently sort of buzzing around for the fans, which is the obviously development of the ground. He said he'd just come back from Downing Street that day, and he was sort of lobbying MPs to try and make sure that whilst we're developing the ground and trying to get 50, then 60,000 people in there, that the infrastructure around Villa Park also sort of keeps pace with what we're trying to do. And he's very confident that's going to happen. So increase capacity in the train stations, you know, things like that. I presume roads, maybe networks might be helped out a bit in the future. Obviously, standing in the Holt End was brought up, that they're going to more than likely return to rail seating, which is interesting because the amount of people you can get into the Holt End would be huge, really. He reckons it's roughly about 1.8 people per every one person that currently sits down. So it would really massively increase capacity in the Holt End. And back to the old days, really, when I remember when I was a kid, you know, standing in the Holt End, and it doesn't half make a difference having everyone standing, and especially cramming in a few more thousand people in there. It should be fantastic. The badge, as you said, they're down to three. I'm pretty sure they had a fan consultation meeting this week where I think that it's going to be whittled down to two then. As you see there, the round so badge.
The three at the minute are without seeing them, so nobody's seen them, but these are what the brief descriptions are. Number one, a round badge similar to the historic 1982 crest, but not the same. Number two, a gas lamp inspired crest in the shape of a shield. Number three, a lion facing the opposite way to the one now on its own, with Villa's established year 1874 sitting underneath. So they're the three. Gonna carry on, Justin.
Yeah, it's interesting because weirdly, it's just come to me what that second one is the actual crest, instead of being it's going to be the actual crest will be a shape of a gas lamp, so the interior will, I presume, will be a lion and whatever. So it'll be, instead of having like this old one which is like that shape, it'll be that shape will be a gas lamp sort of silhouette. I think that's what that one is. And then I say that not the 82 badge, whatever it is, anyway, he did say Aston Villa F will be written and won't be AVFC anymore, because the main reason he gave behind that was they want to push into new areas of the world. So sort of Africa, I've read a couple of articles today about they want to expand into Africa and all over the world, every single continent, really. And whilst we are a big name in England and in Europe, there's still these places that would look at the badge and not particularly know that much about us. And if you just see AV, you'd be thinking, well, AV, what does AV mean? When you get Aston Villa straight away, it's bang, it's there, isn't it? Aston Villa Football Club. So I sort of get the thinking behind that. And then on to sort of the transfers, and I've seen a lot written about this today, about one in, one out, and people thinking that, you know, the finances are going to suddenly stop and that the owners are going to not going to invest anymore. And my reading of that bit of the sort of evening was that it's not we've got to sell to buy, it's we've got enough players in the squad now, the squad is big enough, and when we want to improve it, then if you don't think your left back's good enough, then you sell one of your current left backs and you buy a better left back. It doesn't mean that you've got to sell and then you're going to spend that money on the next player. It means that it's one in, one out as far as squad numbers go. So that's interesting. And he wants us to be self-sufficient. Again, I've read a lot of that today. And I think every club in the Premier League wants that. And this is why the stadium has to improve size-wise. Corporate has to improve. Sponsorship has to improve. And unfortunately, prices go up. That's how, I suppose, business works. And football club's no different to that, is it? Although, you know, fans are very important stakeholders within that. So they have to be very careful how they balance things out, especially as well with this talk about people seated around the current dugout area. That's going to be a very difficult one for them to sell, I think. But it's all things that have got to be done, I think. And eventually, it's got to improve our significantly our financial aspect and how we can go forward. But it was a very good evening. The trust, in my opinion, you know, is faltering a bit. And I've spoke to the chairman, Mo. He's a lovely bloke. It needs everybody to really get involved with it more. There's just not enough people involved. It's had its problems. But hopefully, over the next few years, it may be able to regain some kind of a foothold within the fan base.
Yeah. And one of the good things that I have also read today as well was about the sale of Chukwuemeka. That would be sort of funding the academy for the next 5 years. I mean, after that league game, I have read a lot of rubbish on Twitter. I've read a lot of rubbish. So it's been nice to actually read something actually half decent that, you know, the sale of him can fund the academy, which is absolutely massive as well. So let's turn our attention to our next game, an absolute massive, massive game, an absolute do not lose game, and an absolute do not draw game. An absolute, you've got to play well, because we can't win and play crap. So we've actually got to mirror a bit of a decent performance to keep everybody happy. So I'll go into some stats in a second. But what's your initial vibe, Hannah? How are you feeling going into Forest? Bear in mind, me and Justin, we're going to be hitting up Nottingham on Monday. We're going to have a nice little away day together as well, aren't we? So we'll enjoy that one. I'm expecting my record to change. So, Hannah, with all that
in mind, if it doesn't change, I'm throwing you in the Trent after it. So,
I think the East Midlands is going to be on lockdown with you pair on the streets, isn't it? Absolute mental scene. I think after Sunday, there's been a very sour taste again, hasn't there? Last time I was on, I was talking about sort of treading that tightrope and a certain result sending us, you know, toppling off the rope. And I feel like that kind of happened against Leeds at the weekend. So slightly on edge before Monday. I feel like I tried to be quite rational about it, and all Villa fans will think they're rational. So again, everyone in the comments can tell me whether I'm right or wrong here. But I think there was definitely negatives that I took from the game. There were lots of things I wasn't happy about. But at the same time, I was just happy that we didn't lose and that we managed to keep a clean sheet. So, again, hopefully we can build on that on Monday against Forest. I think after their thumping against Leicester, you know, we're now going to be licking our lips and thinking this is the game. I don't want to be saying that every week, like this is going to be the game where we turn it around. This is going to be it. This time, I feel like it has to be. Otherwise, the manager's job will seriously be under threat. You know, it looks like they're going to keep Cooper for the time being, which should hopefully play into our hands. I feel like whenever, you know, there's a new manager bounce, we always seem to fall victim to that. So should be a positive that he's still in the job. I don't think he can turn it around that quickly, but again, please don't come and bite me on the bum for that. So I think, yeah, we know that they're very weak at the back. we should be exploiting that. I think there was no issue with our defensive performance against Leeds. It's just got to be so someone's got to tie up their shooting boots for Monday night. I think that's just the key thing, isn't it? There wasn't otherwise too much that went wrong, I feel, on Sunday. Yes, you know, it wasn't glamorous, and I still don't feel like we've really coined our style in terms of how we want to play. But if we, you know, I know it's always what ifs, but if we did put away just two of them chances, we come away with that from that game feeling a lot more positive. So hopefully it's just that final tick in the box for Monday night. I think we need to see a couple of changes perhaps in the attacking line, which I'm sure you guys will talk about in the predicted lineup episode. But, you know, give Ollie Watkins a rest. I don't think it's going to do him any favours if he plays on Monday night. Give Danny Ings a chance. Give Cameron Archer some minutes. Yes, he's not the answer, but the kid clearly is a natural finisher. So even if he gets half an hour, give him the minutes. You know, you're not going to get really a better side this season at a better time to give him a chance. So I think that is the focus for Monday, getting our shooting boots on. I do not want to see a clip on social media of all of our players whacking them in from how many yards out on the training pitch.
You know, I don't want to see it. I've said this before on this podcast, right? I don't buy, like, on the Instagram when they're just whacking them in with no defender in sight and just having a clean shot at a keeper. I just think that's a false... Do you know what I mean? Because why do they do that? Because you'd never do that in a game unless you want to...
I get it.
Or the little, like, things that are going to, like, get in the way of, like, you know, those little... Some, I don't know, you know, when you have a wall...
The metal, like...
Yeah, stick a finger in and shot, because letting these players whack them in from 18-yard box with no one in front of them, of course they're going to score...
I don't want to see it. If I see it, I'm going to unfollow them. I think for Monday, absolutely key. I think we need a couple of changes, freshen up that attacking line. Please, please, begging you, Stephen, start Buendia. I'm begging you. If there is a god in the sky, please start Buendia. That is all I ask for. I think he was so bright when he came on again on Sunday. I feel like he's just got that vision that we need, that creative just instinct that we need as like a little firework in this team. I feel like that's what we need. We need a spark, because as much as it was like a settled performance, you know, it was pretty plain, you know, it was like if you're getting a meal deal, it was like the plain ham sandwich kind of vibe. We need something that's going to really spice it up and just get us 3 points. We need to win. It is a must win for me. So not feeling positive, because I feel like whenever I'm positive it doesn't go well, but I'm feeling like focused. I'm feeling focused and ready for the challenge. I could be a manager with some of these terminologies I use, but yeah, that's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, you made some good points, and we now get into that area of the season where it's sacking season, and we've seen it already. Bruno Lange, gone. Parker, gone. Hasselhoedl on the way out. So it is getting to that area where these managers are now starting to lose their jobs. And yeah, I think it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. But let's get into it then. I've got quite a few little slides and a few little stats on hand today. So let's start it off then. So our head-to-head record against Nottingham Forest in the Premier League era, we've played 10 times, we've won 5, drawn 4, and we have lost 1, I think that. So our last 5 games in the Premier League, we go unbeaten. The last game we played then was a 2-0 win at Villa Park in 1999. So it's been a very long time in the Premier League era.
Yeah.
I know we've had a few mad ones in the Championship. Was it the 5-5 Villa Park?
5-5, yeah.
So, you know, it's been a long time in the Premier League. Form guide going into it, we are obviously more informed than they are. They've lost their last 5 and we're coming off the back of 2 draws and a win. I think if we get the win, I think that form is starting to look a lot better with 2 draws and 2 wins. plenty to build on. This season, they're 20th, we're 14th. They're conceding 2.6 goals per game, and we're conceding 1.2. And we are both scoring the same amount per game, which is 0.8. So that's less than one a game. Look at this. Well, I haven't made this up. Nottingham Forest's strengths, zero. They don't have any. And I'm not disrespectful, right? This is off who scored. And I go off this, off every team we play. So their weaknesses are finishing scoring chances, avoiding individual errors, defending against counter-attacks, defending set pieces, defending against long shots, defending against through ball attacks, defending against skillful players, stopping the opposition, creating chances, protecting a lead, avoid fouling in dangerous areas, defending against attacks down the wings. Their style of play are long balls, playing in their own half, playing the offside trap, rotate their first 11, and aggressive. So, that don't look great.
Everything, basically, they're weak at.
And I don't think they are. They're not that bad, but they are. They have got big problems all over the pitch, and we
they have to rotate their first 11 because they've got 300 of them, haven't they? So yeah. They've got to keep rotating.
And what I would say about this is I was watching Super Sunday or whatever it's called, the Man City Man United game, and Pep was on before the game, and they were talking about him saying, "Have you got the best squad? Would you prefer a bigger squad?" And he was like, "No, I like working with a smaller squad, obviously, because you have to manage, you know, over 20 players or whatever." And he just said he prefers smaller squads. And I honestly feel like this is part of the problem for Nottingham Forest. Too many players came in. Far too many players came in. We saw it when we got promoted to the Premier League with Dino, when we had to bring in all those players. Take your mindset back to that season. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. The individual errors, Engels, you know, the Engels error at Spurs and all this. So it's just a lot to get all of those players playing in the same team. And I know they're shifting the way that they're playing now. They were played with a five at the back, and against Leicester, they went back to a four at the back. And the chopping and changing of all these things just isn't helping. So I think that's part of the problem. This was their lineup against Leicester. Like I say, they went more to a four at the back when a couple of the games have been playing a five. And I just think this Brennan Johnson, he hasn't really kicked on in the Premier League what everybody thought he would. Jesse Lingard is just Jesse Lingard. I do like the look of the striker up front, to be fair. I think he has got a little bit about him. Morgan Gibbs-White went for absolute massive amounts of money. Lodi from Atletico Madrid. But I think this defensive area is something that we can get at, the midfield area. And we know that they give you chances, don't they? And I think that's going to be something that, you know, we're going to have to create our opportunities and use the ball really well. I think they allow you a lot of space from the edge of the box, like what we saw from Maddison and we saw from Harvey Barnes. You know, they've got a lot of defenders back, but, you know, they allow you to shoot from distance. They don't get tight. Transition, long balls. I think that's an area that we could hurt them, cutting balls through the channels. Again, another one from Harvey Barnes. And this is where I do think they are quite dangerous. The ball broke down for Leicester. It was a long ball. And here we go. So they've got two players either side. And, you know, they leave players high up on the halfway line. And, you know, they created a decent chance from that opportunity. So we've got to be careful on the counter. And I thought I'd just finish it off with some little stats that I sort of found, which I don't know how you'd read into some of these, but some of them I found quite interesting. Total touches this season, we're sitting eighth in the Premier League with 5,102, which I think's quite high, really. Our passes completed, we're eighth with 2,907. Long balls, we are currently second in the Premier League with 486 long balls. Found that quite interesting as well. And then finally, one area which I think is the part of the problem, we are 15th on total shots this season on 86. Now, that to me is telling me we need to start shooting more. because, you know, we're sitting 15th on the amount of shots that we've taken this season. So, yeah, that's not great in my opinion. But, Hannah, what do you make of everything that I've just gone through, if you can remember some of it?
Cheers, Jeff. I think, to be fair, I think so. What sticks out there is probably the long balls. I don't like that we've become a bit hoofy at times and we're like lumping the ball up and then not getting a shot off because, you know, the hold up play hasn't been great, you know. I think, yes, the issue with Forest, exactly as you've identified, is they are probably 11 men on a pitch, not a team. They've just not got that blend yet because they're chopping and changing, and because each time they chop and change, it's a whole new set of players. They haven't got that bond, and it's so difficult at this level to have a team like that because you're playing against so many well-oiled machines that have played together for a long time. And I feel to an extent, although I'm still not 100% sure we've found our best 11, a lot of these players now have been playing together for a little while and, you know, they kind of know how we're trying to play, even if it doesn't necessarily come off. So we have that advantage and we should definitely use that as one of our strengths in terms of just our team chemistry, if we can get that going. Because, you know, there's been a lot of times in the last 12 months ish since Gerard came in that, you know, we have looked like we can be that really attractive team that is really well connected and we can play, you know, those first touch balls and, you know, slide it in the channels, and it has looked good. So yes, we're rebuilding now, we're starting back from strong defense and, you know, making sure we pick up points, but we need to, you know, step towards that slightly more interesting football now, which we know that we're capable of, and, you know, that could really harm a team like Forest, I think. But yeah, I think we definitely need to get more shots off, but if it's anything like Sunday, they need to be accurate. I think the biggest thing it feels like is one-on-ones with the keeper. It feels like we never come away with anything. It's always either hits the keeper first time or someone blocks it and it goes out for a corner. We need to get better at that one-on-one kind of situation with goalkeepers. And if just a couple of these chances can come off, then things will feel so much more positive. We're just at that point at the minute where it just feels a bit stale. Like you say, same amount of goals scored, 0.8 as Forest. Not good enough, is it? So we need that spark, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of the little ones, the stats towards the end, like touches per game, passes per game. We do want to be a possession-based side, which is good, and that sort of backs it up slightly. But I just think at times we've got to work the ball a bit better. And I think against Forest, I think we are going to have majority of the ball. So I think it's down to us on how we use it. And that's why, without going early on the predicted lineup, that I do think Brendier and Coutinho are going to start this game. I think both of them are going to be in this side. And I also think Danny Ings potentially is going to start up front as well.
Spoiler alert.
I just think the way I see the game going is I think it'll probably be tight again because, you know, you want to be tight and organised on an away day. Do you know what I mean? That is the principle of what happens all the time, isn't it? But if there is a little bit of a storm to ride in the first 5 minutes, it's crucial that we ride that out because the atmosphere is going to be really good there. But I think we've got to be, you know, compact, organised, but then boom, when we get that ball forward, we've got to work as a team and as a unit, and we've got to move the ball quickly. I saw against Leicester when Maddison was picking that ball up in that sort of number 10 position, driving at them. I don't really think this game is going to be won out wide. I think we've got to go through the middle with them because I think what I'm seeing most teams that we play against, they all seem pretty okay with us moving the ball out wide, and that they seem to get set and they're a bit more structured and they like us playing in those areas. But I thought when we played Leeds, I thought when we were going through the middle a bit more, I thought we were getting a little bit more joy. So I think that's why Coutinho, Buendia, I think that link up might be crucial, really. Justin, what are your thoughts then?
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to you, Pair, going on. It's very interesting, and I agree with everything. I think we've got to try and well, I always try and look on the positives. We created 19 chances last week against Leeds, who have only conceded 10 goals all season in their first seven or eight games. Forest have conceded 21 goals this season in eight games. So we've got to think that we're going to create a lot of chances next week, next Monday. And that's what we've got to play off, isn't it? It's not a massive pitch at Forest. It's quite a tight ground. Like you say, the atmosphere is good. We've got to keep them quiet because they're going to be up for it the first 5 or 10 minutes. Like the ones against Leicester, to be honest, they didn't look terrible first 5 or 10 minutes. And then as soon as they conceded, they fell to pieces. And that's what we've got to play off. They're a team that's in disarray. If we get the first goal and we start to dominate, they're just going to fall apart. If they get a foothold, somehow get a foothold in the game, and we are not the most confident side at the moment, we've got to be. That's the thing we want to be wary of. We've got to be positive from the off. The team selection has got to be right, and I'm totally with you. For me, Bailey and Ings, Bailey and Watkins come out, and Buendia and Ings come in. It's suited to Danny Ings because it's a narrow pitch, so he can just patrol that penalty box. And then you could play even four sort of attackers behind him. You could have Coutinho, you could have Ramsey, you can have McGinn, and you can have Bailey or Buendia, all sort of patrolling in and around the box, just like Leicester did last week. Let's not forget, this is Leicester team. They lost six in a row before they played them. So they're hardly flying with confidence. But Forest give you that many chances because of the problems they've got. I serve a chap in Sutton, who's actually their media chap for Nottingham Forest. And he has been for 18 months. He has just recently left his position and he came in, he was talking to me in the week. And some of the things he was telling me about behind the scenes would make, well, I haven't got any hair, but make your hair stand on end. Some of the players that have come in just don't want to know. I won't name names. You can guess probably yourself. They're not the kind of attitude and professionalism that they were hoping. They've just filled the place with bodies rather than trying to build a team. I know to an extent it was forced upon them, a bit like it was with us. But I think they did what we did and like supersized it, didn't they? And they just went mad in the transfer window. And I just think with 20-odd, 22, 23 players trying to gel into a team, you've just got no chance. The Premier League is an unforgiving place. We found that when we first got promoted. They're on a bad run. They look like they're going straight back down. They're basically a championship side in the Premier League. The manager's under huge pressure. Fair play to the board for once for sticking with him. I think they've got rid of a few of the backroom bits and bobs, and the some of the people that made the signings, I think, have gone today.
We've got a new sporting director.
I think, mate, so
you just spent all your dough.
It's mad, really, when you think that normally a board would sack the manager, but they've done it differently. They've got rid of all the people that signed the place. They almost blamed the recruitment team for the recruiting, which doesn't say, and they've sort of left Cooper to try and pick the pieces up and try and somehow mould a team out of what he's got. It, for some reason, this worries me, this game does. I don't know why, because essentially on paper, we should be going there and hammering them. But it is a banana skin game. If we're not, our attitude isn't right, then we could come a cropper. And I would fear for Steven Gerrard if that happened. But I want to be positive. I want to say we're going to go there. We're going to put a show on. The mistakes we made against Leeds, which was basically finishing, you know, could we finish, we'd have won that game comfortably. And then we began into Forest game so confident. I think they'll put that to bed on Monday, praying we can go and win comfortably for you as well. It'd be nice for you to win an away game for once. Yeah, it's difficult. And I think Archer could have a something to say because, you know, he did well in the Championship last season. And essentially, like I said, this is a Championship back two centre-halves, the Championship centre-halves, aren't they? And he did well against them last year. So I think, you know, it could be a chance for him to come on and play the last 15, 20 minutes. And my biggest worry with Gerrard was that he wouldn't change it when things were going wrong. And he did. He corrected it. I worry a little bit now we've overcorrected and we're a little bit too defensive. So if we can just tweak it again and just unleash us a bit more going forward and just need that confidence in the box. If that confidence could come back in the box with the undoubted quality we possess in our 11, we should win the game comfortably.
Yeah. And Hannah, where are you at with Gerrard then? Because everyone knows my opinion. And I think they'd probably imagine Justin. So where are you at? So, you know, I don't like thinking oh, if we lose on Monday, then this is going to, I'd rather look at it and think, well, we're going to win on Monday and then we'll be top 10 maybe. Right, that's the way I look at it. But how are you sort of, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm a positive fan. I like to think, oh, we win on Monday and we're into, you know, potentially, hopefully the top half around about that. And, you know, is job safe for at least another period of time. That's completely what I want. What I'm not sure about is whether that will happen. And I do think that I don't want us to get to the point where we're just constantly waiting for it to go right, because it just feels like the season will just very quickly slip away into a nothing season again. And after all our excitement in July and August about, you know, what we could potentially get with Steven Gerrard, I don't want that to happen. I get that, you know, we have seen improvements without a doubt. You know, we've not lost the last two games or however, no, three games now. So, you know, in that sense, I'm not complaining, but I just don't know if I trust Steven Gerrard's tactics to carry us through, because my trust is 100% with the team. I know that we've got enough talent in this squad. You know, we're still going to need, you know, improvements next summer, the summer after. But right now, I know that this squad truly should have the quality to perform better than it is. And it is completely down to the coaching staff to get that best out of them. You know, if they can't finish 18 chances, yes, that, you know, onus has to go down to the players. You know, you've got to finish your chances. But oh, we're now looking over a longer period than that, even going back to the end of last season. We need to see those improvements, because when Dean Smith was sat, Perslow, the board, all said it was because they hadn't seen the improvements that they expected. Now, if they are as ambitious as they say they are, which I believe that they are, then I just think, why would they rest on their laurels and allow just continued okay or mediocrity? I don't want to, and this comes from a place of love and ambition for the club. So it's not because I'm pessimistic and negative. It's because I believe that we can do it, not because I think, oh, you know, it's all rubbish. It's because I think we can do it, and I want everything to fall into place. And if that means we change manager, we change manager. But for now, I back the team. I'm not, you know, firmly Gerrard out. I'm not firmly, I want him in. I'm kind of just waiting for something to click. And if it doesn't, then I support what's best for the team. So that's where I stand. I do try and be positive. You know me, we are positive on the channel, but I am probably a little bit more cynical when it comes to the manager at the minute.
Justin, do you want to add anything before we finish up?
No, you know, ultimately all we want is Villa to be successful and at the top of the league. And, you know, sacking managers is always a long-term turnaround then, isn't it? And I think there's still a lot of time left in the season. I'm a little bit disappointed. Some of the fan base are saying they're becoming disillusioned with where we are and disaffected, if that's the right word. You know, they feel like, you know, they're distancing themselves from the club again, and that connect is going. I mean, you know, let's not forget, in 2016, that was the worst season I've ever known following Villa. You couldn't have been more disaffected than you was watching them. We've got brilliant owners. We've got a fantastic future ahead of us with a fantastic new stadium coming. We've got some brilliant players. We just got to get it clicking on the pitch. And I know that's so easy to say, and it seems to be so hard to do. I still back Steven Gerrard. I think he's got at least to the World Cup, whatever happens in the next two or three games. Hopefully by that point, we're in the top half and we can start just focusing on January transfer window, maybe getting another player in, and then pushing up to where we wanted to be at the start of the season, which was seventh. We're 3 points off it currently, I think, off the top of my head. So it's not a million miles away, is it? The problem is what we've seen with our eyes on the pitch isn't lovely to watch, is it? And that's where the disconnect, I think, is coming. If the results can start coming, even if they don't play that well, it gives them a little bit more time to try and sort the actual style out of play and give us an identity, which is what everybody wants. So Monday night, comfortable win, great performance would go a hell of a long way to setting us back on that pathway of having a better season than we think we're going to have.
Cool. I think it would have been difficult for any manager to follow Dean Smith if we're talking about culture and spirit in the club.
Good
I
point,
feel like
yep.
anyone was going to struggle to connect with this fan base the way we did with Dean Smith. Everyone in many of our fans' eyes was going to be a downgrade, and it is really difficult to build that up, which is why I always say he has to build that up through what happens on the pitch. And when that's not happening, I think that's why it's so quick and fickle for fans to turn on him, because you just don't have that initial connection like we did with Dean Smith.
Yeah, it's easier to turn on a Scouser, isn't it, than a Brummer? It's a shame, because I think his heart's hopefully in the right place. He's a football man. He's had massive success as a player. I presume he wants huge success as a manager. He doesn't want to be a failure. I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to be sacked from any job that he's got, because it's not going to help him with his quest to be whatever he wants to be as a manager. So I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to turn it around and play free-flowing attacking football. Let's hope it's sooner rather than later.
Definitely. Right. So we'll end it there then. We'll have our score predictions, just because we've just got to win it. I can't think of nothing more. I can't envisage us losing. I don't want to. So I don't want another week of what I've just been reading and watching and whatever. So I'm going to go for 2-1 Villa. We'll be 2-0 up, and it'll be twitchy at the end. Justin?
I'm going to say this is Steve Cooper's last job, last day as he's in the manager of Forest. I think we're going to 5-0 Villa.
Oh, no, Justin.
I'm clipping that and putting it on Twitter.
Don't say that after when I'm standing next to you in that stand, Luke, and we're buzzing after a 5-0 win. I'm saying, I told you.
If I walk out of a Premier League game and we've won 5-0,
away.
I ain't ever going to another away game ever again.
That's either going to be a moment. That's either a moment of magic from Justin or a moment of madness. We'll see. Come 10 o'clock on
probably
Monday
madness.
Night. Yeah, there was a few points that we've made that I wanted to just recap. So I think the key for us now going forward, I think Luke, you used the word predictable or unpredictable, or I fear that we've become a little bit predictable in our ways, going out wide, full-backs bombing on, crossing the ball. So this week on Monday, I'm hoping for a little bit of a shift up. We're going to make a couple of personnel changes. We're going to cut them through the middle. I don't think it's going to be a blow-away. I don't think it's going to be a 5-0. I think it's going to be a 2-0. We're going to keep a clean sheet. We're going to finish our chances, and it's going to be a nice, tidy away win, which is exactly what we need. But 5-0 would also be lovely, and I wouldn't complain.
Cool. Right, so we will be back for the predicted lineup, although we've pretty much told you what it might be, so we might have to reassess that episode. Vote for us, subscribe, drop the videos a like. And one thing I will say is that just because we create these videos, you don't have to agree with everything that we say. So we don't do them so we try and make you agree with what we say. Look, this is just our opinion. So if you disagree, that is completely fine. And it's just opinions. And that's the beauty of football. So let's be nice in the comment sections. Let's not get too personal. Let's not get so shirty with one another. Let's be nice.
Don't hammer me for me 5-0.
And just respect opinions. And if you don't believe it, then that's fine. But just, yeah, be nice. Be a nice fan. That's what I'd like to add on. So see you later. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.